Yo, what's up, everybody, and welcome to the 13th episode of the Sad Nauz CDH Podcast, Rule Zero and Zero Rules. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Adam, better known as Poppyphobia.
What's up, everybody?
And Kevin, better known as Tashu.
Hey, howdy, boys.
Today, we're talking about Rule Zero and its implications in our format and in EDH in general. But before we talk about how to bully your playgroup and allowing you to play banned cards, Adam, I'll throw it to you because I think we have a few triggers to resolve in our upkeep.
Yeah, thanks, Kian. So, to start with, we're going to shout out all of our high-tier patrons. Thank you to Usable Object, Senator Tom, Cold Ramen, and Geo Justin. The support from everybody has been absolutely amazing, and it helps us to continue making these amazing episodes. For those of you that haven't heard, all of us here at Sad Nauz are sponsoring the Chaos 4 CDH Webcam Tournament, a 100% free and proxy-friendly webcam tournament with almost $1,000 in prize support provided by yours truly. Unfortunately, we had to reschedule our episode this week with Chaos and Fasorius, the TOs of Chaos Tournaments, but don't worry, as that episode will be coming out shortly. And finally, don't forget to smash that like button, hit subscribe. For those of you listening on podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please make sure you leave us a review and a rating, as it helps us to reach new audiences. And with that, we'll move on to our main phase. So, to kick off our first webcam episode, we thought it would be only fitting to talk about a very hot topic in the community. But to start off with, we have to ask a major question that many of our listeners may not know. What is Rule Zero in the first place? So we'll be taking a deep dive on what Rule Zero is, how it affects our format, and what impacts it has on the community as a whole. So to start with, I'm going to throw it to Kevin to give us a definition and talk about what Rule Zero is.
Many Magic the Gathering players ask, what is Rule Zero?
Oh, my God, the professor. Know,
oh, my God, it's the professor again. So back in May of 2020, if you guys remember what happened then, I don't know what happened then, Sheldon Mennery, the head of the RC, he wrote an article that got released onto Star City Games, and it's titled Rule Zero, What It Is and What It Is Not. And, you know, I think it's good to start with a quote from the article. Quote, Rule Zero is there to remind people that rules are not set in stone. They can and should be modified by playgroups and organizers to increase the overall fun of the group they want to cultivate. So, Rule Zero is sort of an interesting thing. I didn't necessarily, like, grow up with it, you know. I started EDH just playing. You just pulled decks out of your bag and you had fun, right? Like, maybe sometimes you didn't have fun, but, like, you talked about it, you know. You say, what does your deck do? Like, oh, does it have this? Like, oh, like, that might be too strong. Let me pull this deck out. But I guess newer players, they've got this sort of idea, you know, based on the pushing from the RC, that you should, like, have, like, a rating for your deck or talk about your deck beforehand and have, like, these, like, big, long conversations when that's not something I'm as used to. So for me, Rule Zero is something I'm not as comfortable with. I'm not comfortable as in I won't do it, but as in I just play EDH without it, right? So I found it kind of strange reading through the article because, you know, like getting the perspective of someone who's obviously been with Commander since the beginning, it seems like the mentality that he holds is very different than what I gather just playing on my own. But for some perspective, another quote in the article that I'd like to read is sort of what it isn't, right? And I'm not going to read the whole quote on this one. I'm just going to paraphrase. But basically, this is from the Commander Advisory Group, the CAG, Shiv and Brett. And he talks about how, like, Rule Zero is not just, like, a fix-all solution, right? Like, it's not your solution to everything. It's not the snake venom. What's the word I'm looking for? What do you give to people who have,
antidote?
Like... Antidote, thank you. Yeah. It's not the antidote.
It's not the venom
the
that kills
venom.
Them.
It's the venom.
It is the venom.
Give
it's
them.
Poisonous for the format. No, but, like, he goes on to talk about how, like, it doesn't fix problems of people, like, not communicating and how, like, you know, it's a casual format. You want to have fun. Like, it does not solve all of your problems, whether that's a format-wide problem or, like, a playgroup problem. Mm-hmm. And it's there to modify and customize the experience of EDH to what you want, you know. It's there for you to, you know, craft a fun experience. And so I don't necessarily think it does that. I think we can get into that more in a bit later. But Adam, what's your opinion on Rule Zero? You know, what do you think about it?
So unlike you, I kind of did grow up in the Rule Zero format of EDH, right? I'm a little bit younger than you, if people couldn't tell. But no, like, when I kind of got into EDH, Rule Zero kind of already existed. And the way that I've always seen Rule Zero as like Rule Zero is supposed to be a way to cause less confusion, right? So a way to talk about your decks with the people that you're playing with and say like, hey, this is the play experience that I'm trying to garnish, right? And this is what my deck does. And I don't want to play against these type of decks. And I do want to play against these type of decks. And I want to play Battlecruiser or whatever. And like, you have this long conversation about like what is fun and how can we have it? What I think ends up happening is it ends up causing more confusion because, as we all know, as individuals, everybody's definition of fun is different, right? Like sometimes for me, fun is annoying everybody else. And so playing a chaos deck might be fun. But to someone else, well, that's not fun to me, so I don't want to play a chaos deck, right? And same with like all other types of decks are like, I want to play high power today. Well, I wanted to play precons today. Well, I wanted to play that. Like, it confuses and muddles this to the point where people just start to lie and say like,
my
oh, well,
deck is a seven.
Yeah, basically. My deck is a seven. Yeah, I just found some cards on the floor. Can I play with these?
Can like, I play with these?
Yeah.
Yo, I'm going to play Exodia.
So basically, like, it to me, it ends up causing more confusion. And so I think that even though like the RC in that article will say something like, oh, Rule Zero is not the antidote. It's not the solution that fixes all the problems. Well, they kind of treat it as such. They may not say it is, but I feel like they treat it as such. And I think that that can cause some problems. But I understand the implications of what Rule Zero is supposed to be, right? Like, I get what they're trying to do, but I just don't think it comes off that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's there to, like, basically say, hey, like, this is a fun format. It's casual. Go have fun with your friends. It's like, yeah. You know, whether you're a drinker or not, right? Like, it's the game that you sit around and drink beer with your friends. Or, like, you're in high school and you fuck around and after class, right?
It's literally their way of telling you, okay, here's this stuff that we have set aside, the rules for this format, but here's this thing saying that you can do whatever you want with your group of friends, you know? It's that sort of thing.
I feel like it's kind of like Lincoln Logs.
You know, Lincoln Logs, you're dating yourself now,
You're dating yourself now. Lincoln Logs are timeless classic. That shit
it is not a timeless classic.
Well, like, I don't think like, I've seen...
Can, I haven't really, seen Lincoln Logs since I was six.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I mean, I see him every day, but, you know.
My point being, there's only so many ways you can arrange it, but it's up to you to do it, right? Like, there's a bounding box, but, like, you can play with it how you want within that.
Yeah.
You could have said Legos, right? Like, Legos would have been more timely.
Legos are too expensive, dude. Have you grown up in this economy? Christ almighty. Yeah. Go on, Adam.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think that, like, we kind of... That's a good establishment of like what we think Rule Zero is, right? Like we get it, right? That there's rules in place in EDH, but the rules aren't a final say. So you can do whatever you want within the confines of your playgroup. And I think that that's what the RC's definition of Rule Zero is supposed to kind of display, right? Can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then moving on from that, for the first topic of discussion that we have, I think the next question we have to ask is, why is Rule Zero a problem in CEDH? Now, when I ask that, I think, or not CEDH, my bad. Why is Rule Zero a problem in EDH? Because in CEDH, I don't think it's a problem. But when it comes to EDH, I think it's probably one of the more toxic things to exist in the format. And I think what I mean by that is players will use Rule Zero as a way to kind of dictate the game or bully other players when it comes to sitting down at a table. If you have a deck that you really want to play, people will be like, oh, well, I don't want to, in the pregame discussion, the Rule Zero, I don't want to play that against that type of deck, right? And it really throws off the vibe of like how you wanted to explore, or how you wanted to have fun. And in that same sense, I think when you talk about Rule Zero, people that want to play things that are not in the rules of Commander, you feel like you don't have the ability to say, no, I don't want to play that. So like you can have someone like, for example, I have a friend that has this Rule Zero deck, and this is just me using it as an example. I don't mind this deck at all. But like when they play casual, they have a Rule Zero deck where they have their regular 100 card deck. And in that deck, there's 40 copies of Ornithopter, right? Then they have another deck that is 40 cards tall. And in that deck, whenever they hit an Ornithopter, they can draw, they have to draw a creature card out of the 40 card deck that they have, and it's all big, bombastic, crazy cards. And they're like, this is my Rule Zero deck. Every time I draw an Ornithopter, it's like a miracle. I display it, and then I draw a big creature from this other deck, and it's all revealed information, right? And it's like a goofy, fun kind of deck, blah, 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 blah. And it is cool, and it's a fun concept, and it's a fun idea. But in the same respect, that's not EDH, right? So, like, if you didn't want to play against that today, and you're like, actually, I just want to play 100-card singleton, like, shuffle up, and it's the luck of the draw, you can sometimes feel bad if you say, I don't want to play against a Rule Zero deck. Or someone that's like, hey, I want to play with these two random commanders as partners today, you know, and yada, and so on and so forth. Like, it, there's a sense that it feels bad, like, man, that's not EDH to me, and I don't want to play against that, but you don't feel like you can say that because Rule Zero, right? Like, because then they can just say, well, it's Rule Zero. You should allow me to play this because it's what I want to play. And I feel like it can create a bunch of, like, misconstrued ideas and really muddle up the format to a point where everybody's upset or messy because they're not getting the experience that they want.
Yeah. mean, I'm kind of with you. I think that, I mean, we did a whole episode on gatekeeping. I think genuinely Rule Zero, especially like LGS-wide Rule Zeros, like you see these fucking hilarious photos on all the various Reddits of people being like, here's this LGS I just moved into whatever town, you know, and like here's this LGS I went to. And they have this huge fucking board of just the dumbest bans and rules. And that's genuinely keeping people away, right? Like, there are people who just have a deck, and they show up, and they're like, oh, I fucking run four cards that's on that thing, and I don't have any replacements. Like, I can't play here. And I think that that's what Rule Zero does, right? Is it allows you to say, no, fuck you, my deck's bad against counterspells. You can't play counterspells, therefore you can't play here. It just keeps people away, and I don't like that. I don't like that you have to have a deck for a store, right? Like, sure, if you're playing, I think Rule Zero makes a lot more sense if you're just four people sitting around a table getting way too drunk on a Saturday night. That makes sense. You're like, listen, bro, I'm too fucking phased out right now. Like, I cannot deal with fucking breach lines right now. Like, you can't play that, you know. That's fine. You're just four people. And I think that's ultimately what the RC wants, is they want groups, like individualized consistent groups where you're playing with the same people every single week and you know each other. So Rule Zero is a more of a social contract, which is what I think they call it, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But the problem is, and I think that a lot of people are going to resonate with this, during COVID, that didn't fucking happen, right? So Spell Table got really big. And now after Spell Table, you know, just ignoring that, like, stores are a big place to play EDH. Like, constantly on Facebook places and Discords, I see people saying, where can I play EDH on Fridays or Tuesdays or whatever? We'll throw out our suggestions, like, here, go to this store. This is the good place to go. But here's the problem. If those stores have very specific rules, like, you can't play green decks because I don't fucking like green. Blue farm only. You know, that sucks if you show up with
it,
the
it kind of like, sucks towards other people because they're like, I came here just to play this certain thing. And they're like, nope, sorry. I'm going to be a little crybaby. You can't play this.
Well, yeah.
It's like,
what? And I think for this question, too, we should gear it more towards the idea of casual EDH because that's kind of where Rule Zero that was the problem. Yep. And you're right. You see a ton of stores where, like, they have their own ban list and they have their own, like, rules. And there's a point system and you get points based on whatever you're doing, you know. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is not
this
what EDH
magic.
Is. Yeah. And it's and it really muddles the rules.
It's different.
Or if you show up with a deck that, like, oh, my deck, you know, has some way to win with some weird combo, and you go to a game store and one of the cards in your combo is banned. Now you can't play your deck because someone else decided you can't play those cards.
Yeah, like you can't even slot the card out, right? Because, like, your deck doesn't fucking function anymore. Like, it just is not a viable.
Yeah, and even if it's like a five card combo or whatever, and it's like super casual and super fun, and like if I draw it, I get it, but otherwise, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter because you now don't get to have fun because someone else decided that for you.
I think people also, and this is a big part of why I like CDH, we'll get to in a bit, but, like, you're only going to win one out of every four games if you all play roughly equal, if you play enough times, right? Like, you're going to have roughly a 25% win rate. And I think people don't like to accept this. I think people are used to, like, winning a lot more than is statistically average, or they think they should, right? So when they lose, they're always just pissy about, like, oh, it's because this deck is bullshit, and I don't like this, I don't like that. And I don't think people understand that, like, you're going to lose three out of every four games you play just off of normal statistical averages, right?
Yeah,
so, like, you're going to get a shitty hand. Like, you're going to get a good hand. Like, it happens, right? Like, obviously, power level differences between decks is a very real thing. We're playing motherfucking vintage
Vintage like, Singleton.
I can play Lion's Eye goddamn Diamonds in a format with like 30 fucking 7,000 cards, right? Like,
okay.
There's just going to be problems. So I think the discussion is healthy when you are playing casually, but I think it leads to a lot of problems where there's too many tiers of EDH, right? Mm. You're supposed to just fuck around. Who cares if you lose? Just play the game.
Yeah. I agree. I think it kind of... I know, Kevin, you briefly discussed it. Like, we already did the gatekeeping episode, but I feel like we broached this topic a little bit, and I think we wanted to, like, come back to it and be like, okay, this is what it is we wanted to talk about more. Because it is a form of gatekeeping, right? You're literally telling the players they can't play their deck or they can't play, like, a certain strategy, and that may, like, dissuade them from coming to that LGS or from that play group, you know? It's just not positive for, in some cases, for like the casual community. But again, for our format CDH, it's just like, okay, whatever, who cares, right? We're like, we're all playing like top tier decks, yada yada yada. You know, it's not really a problem here.
It's just like a no salt pact.
Yeah,
like,
well, there is still salt, but it's more like, okay, whatever, we'll get the next one, right? Well, for casuals, it's like, they want to...
I'm never playing that deck. Yeah, I'm not. If you bring that deck out,
literally.
Not even that. I'll never play against that person again.
There you go.
Like, that's where it gets... Because that's, like, the stuff that I hear a lot in, like, casual circles. Is, like, someone will be like, well, you know, this person did this, and I'm never going to play with them again. And it's like, well, like... You know, what was that pregame discussion for in the first place? Like, I hear that all the time. Or, like, man, I got pub stomped, or I got whatever, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like...
I will say, there's an interesting, like, mindset difference. Like, I've played CDH, right? And, like, I've played games where I thought my opponent just fucking biffed it. I'm like, if you bounce this thing, we lose. And then they do it, and then we lose, and I'm like, fucking bruh. You know? but then, like, next game, I don't care. My thought process is, that guy is playing a hard deck. Like, we're playing a hard format. He fucked up. It shit happens, right?
Yeah, mistakes
but, like,
happen.
I played a casual game, and a guy just, like, tried to fucking bully people with, like, a pub stompy deck, right? And then we kicked his ass anyways. But the first thing that ran through my mind was, fuck that guy. I'm never playing with him again. So I don't know why, but, like, when you sit down and you're like, I'm playing competitively, I don't give a shit what happens, the game feels better.
Well, and, yeah, it is weird. I don't know if it's because of how people, like, have bred that the format or the casual side of the format to exist. But, yeah, like, when I'm not doing my thing in casual, I'm mad. I'm, like, really mad. I'm like, why is my deck not doing its thing? Why am I not able to do the thing I want? And in CDH, when that happens, I'm like, well, just didn't draw the right cards, I guess. You know, like, oh, well, I guess I lose.
Go back to the Brewer's Corner.
Yeah, I guess I lose this game. Like, it's like, I don't have that same feels bad, you know? So it is weird that, like, that's kind of how the culture is built. But I think that ties into our next topic of discussion that I think you're going to take over, Kevin.
Yeah, and it's you know, short and simple. It's simply, how does CEDH handle Rule Zero better than EDH does? I would like to point out that we aren't necessarily, like, different. You know, competitive is just EDH. It's just there's a social contract that you don't have to discuss. Rule Zero is not a conversation. It is a foundation of what you play, right? You sit down and you're like, hey, I'm running fucking a $17,000 deck. I'm going to try to kill you before you even get to play your first land. You cool with that? And everyone's like, yeah, bro, I don't give a shit. I buy new sleeves because I shuffle all the time. Like, we're here to have fun. Like, we're here to fucking blast each other with rocket launchers. Like,
yep.
I don't want to sit around and play a 9-drop and then fucking lose the game. Like, if I resolve a 9-drop, you're going to cry.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Adam, take it.
Okay, I was going to say, you bring up a good point. Is like, CDH is not really different than EDH. We follow the same rule sets, and everything exists, including Rule Zero. The only difference is that in CDH, Rule Zero is an unspoken rule. And what it is we are playing a meta, right? And the meta is, we are playing the highest power cards that are available. We are playing with the best decks that we can afford to play as players, right? Because there is that price restriction that some people are held behind on. But the goal is that we're going to try to win the game as fast as possible before anybody else has an opportunity to win first. And you don't have to say anything. You sit down at the papal, you sit down at the table. Everybody sees your commander. Everybody sees your commanders. And even if it's a commander they've never seen before, everybody's like, okay, this guy's got a deck no matter what. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no confusion. There's no feels bad. There's no whatever. If you play a turbo, there's certainly like, obviously people are like, man, I hate Thoracle. I wish I wouldn't always lose to Thoracle, but they understand that's in the format. And
what's fun is you don't bitch about it. You just, or you do, but then you just play like Hushbringer and you're like, haha, get fucked, idiot. I courted Hushbringer, or I play Dress Down. Yeah. Fuck you. Like,
yeah,
you know, you have answers.
You change the decks. Yeah. Yeah. You change the decks according to what is the meta. And that's the Rule Zero talk, is like, hey, we're going to play whatever we can to win at all costs. And I think that that eliminates so much confusion. I think like when I think about like the EDH community and the CDH community, the things that I see is like, the CDH community is so much healthier than the EDH community. Everybody's cool. Everybody's friends with everybody. When you brew decks, like the most toxic part about the CDH community is the brewing. Is because when you're brewing decks, people are like, wow, that's not competitive enough. You need to take it from here up to here. And like everybody's like, you know, joshing on each other because of that. But like in EDH, people are like, that's not a card you should play because that's not in the spirit of the format. And, yeah, you know, that's not EDH enough. That's not fun enough to play. Or you shouldn't play a card that says you win the game. And you shouldn't play this type of style. Nobody likes green. Green is too powerful. Don't play Sol Ring because Sol Ring's broken.
And so I don't know if you guys are boomer enough for this, but I remember way back, like when I first started EDH, part of the fun was being like, okay, cool. My friend's deck, it runs all artifacts. And you didn't have fucking Scryfall. You would go to either Tapped Out or you would just fucking Google cards or look on Gatherer and you were like using a shitty ass Gatherer.
I remember Googling cards.
You were like, artifact. Dude, it was bad, right? And yeah, you'd find like, oh, I've got like Energy Flux. Like, oh my God, this fucking destroys artifacts. I'm going to dick my friend in the ass next week. And then you would, and it would be hilarious, right? It kind of was proto like bad CEDH, right? Because like you played metas, like you played decks to attempt to win. And, like, you knew what you were going to face. And I think that's kind of what Rule Zero tried to do. But it doesn't work because there's so many pickup games. And people now are just so used to what their deck does. They don't want to modify it for, like, the field or whatever. They just want to fucking do their... They want to play Civilization on casual mode, you know? They don't want to face the Barbarians.
Yeah, I guess, like, Rule Zero for casuals is kind of like a supplement almost. Like, okay, like... your friend group or like your LGS may be playing like this dumb crap. Here's a rule that allows you to stop doing that. But for CDH, like I think everybody mostly talked about this and like my points regarding this topic. But like in CDH, no one really cares, dude. Like everybody's like, okay, whatever. We all have the same goal in mind. We're all sitting down to do the exact same thing, and that's to win the game. We're not trying to, oh, let's play EDH for the spirit of EDH. No, fuck that. I want to win, and I want to do it fast, baby. I don't want to sit here and be, oh, I want to play this Sol Ring because it's the spirit of EDH.
Yeah, honestly.
It's like, no, shut up, okay? Listen.
I don't want to play a fucking three-hour game unless I have resolved two Null Rods, a Pig, and a Roll of Law.
No.
I hate three-hour games. Let me lose the game on turn 4, 17 minutes in, and go, cool, I just lost fucking $20. Now let's play for fun. And then, you know, yeah, we jam like 6-7 games in a night, you know? Like, that's what I want to do. I don't want to play the same fucking
game. And like...
Go ahead, Adam. You can go on, Ken.
Do you have something else to add? Because I'm going to move on to that.
Yeah, I have something else to add. I was just going to say that, like, when it comes to CDH, I think that the Rule Zero is handled in a way where you don't have to fight with each other about what you want to play. And I think that that's the most important part about it, right?
Yeah, I kind of like that there's no customization. Like, you don't get to fucking tweak Rule Zero unless Kian says no pig. Other than that, like, you just play. We're like, there's no fucking choice. There's one rule.
That is like, the only time you see Rule Zero get tweaked in CDH is the thing where it's like, hey, can we do no stacks today? And then everybody looks at each other and they go, sure, let's play Turbo. And like everybody, like that's the extent of Rule Zero. And what's funny about it is like when you say, hey, can we do no stacks today? Someone looks you in the face and goes, this is CDH, bro. You don't get to say no stacks. And then we play it anyways.
Just fucking suck it up.
Yeah, that's how, yeah. And like you don't hear people getting upset about that. Like, dude, there's like, I hear some, and sometimes it happens where like the format gets mixed up where like people will be like, I know in some like discords, like larger discords, they'll be like, I hate playing against Winota. If someone brings Winota to the table, I'm not playing against it. And honestly, like to me, that's not CDH. Like if you're playing CDH and you're like, I don't want to play against Winota. Well, guess what, buddy? Get better and beat Winota. Like that's how you solve that problem. And I think
or
that
just accept that you're going to lose to her. Like,
yeah, unless you tech against it, right? So I think that that's where like CDH kind of does Rule Zero better, is that it's just unspoken. You know what you're expecting. You know what to do. And there is no like, well, I want to play precon. Like the talk should be like, hey, do you guys all want to buy precons and play precons? Like that should be Rule Zero and casual. And it's like, yeah, let's do that. Or it's like, hey, I know I'm bringing a precon to this table. You guys play whatever you want, but I understand that I might either lose or have a good time, but I'm going into it knowing that, rather than expecting everyone else to adjust their playstyle for you.
I think that's an excellent fucking point. I think Rule Zero should be a conversation where you only input what you are doing, not what you expect your opponents to do, right? Like, you can say, I'm doing this, and then you can ask, like, is that okay? Or, like, when you say, I'm doing this, I can be like, oh, fuck, you're running Reanimator strategy? Oh, my whole deck is, you know, or I'm running Reanimator, your whole deck is, like, Graveyard Hate? I can't play this. Like, I'm going to have a shit time. You know, that's fair, right? I tell you what I'm doing, you respond with what you think is reasonable. I don't think you should say, this is what I want. You never point towards you. You point towards the group.
Yeah, and I think this ties into our next topic, but, like, how does Rule Zero affect the player base's mindset towards, like, CDH? So, like, does Rule Zero affect, a normal CDH player's mindset? I believe that, like, It really doesn't, because like we were just discussing about it doesn't really affect, because you could have a person say like, I don't want to play against stacks today. It's like, okay, that's what you want to do. What do we want to do collectively? You know, so I don't think it has an effect personally, or like a negative stigma.
I think when you ask this question, like, how does Rule Zero affect the player base's mindset towards CDH, what I interpret that question as is like, how does the general populace of EDH view CDH because of Rule Zero? Like, when you look at like Discords and Reddit and stuff like that, like the people that don't like CDH, it's because they think like CDH is a bunch of pub stompers who don't listen to Rule Zero, and all that they want to do is ruin the game for everybody else. And it's like, well, no, that's not at all what CDH is. That might be your interpretation because of one bad experience. But CDH, we utilize Rule Zero. We utilize it every day. Every time we play a deck, we use Rule Zero, because we are all in agreement of what CDH is. That's the Rule Zero talk. Whereas, like, I think that that's kind of, it's kind of muddled up. Like, people don't understand that, and they think that, oh, well, CDH is all about abandoning Rule Zero and just pub stomping everybody that's around. And that's totally not the case.
I think there's a lot of misconceptions. We've talked about it before, but I think regular players don't really know what we're doing at high level tables. Like I've talked to casuals all the time, and they're like, you know, hey, I don't want to just shuffle my deck and lose on turn two. Like, here's the thing, like you're not going to lose on turn two. Someone's going to attempt to win on turn two, and you're going to say force, and they're going to go meh, and then the next turn happens, right? And then someone resolves an Aether Sworn Canonist. You keep moving on, like the game keeps going. Like, yes, it's fast, yes, it's going, but honestly, you still get to play a very fun and interactive game. And what I've noticed is every single time, and I mean literally every time, I have handed a bunch of people who casually play EDH for fun, I'm like, here's a fucking competitive deck. I give them a little 2-minute, like, here's how it works. Here's this card you're looking for. They have a blast. They're like, holy shit, that was fun, dude. Like, everyone had counter spells. Like, the big scary card came out, and, like, it got stopped. I didn't have to sit there and groan about it for four fucking hours.
Yeah, and hope people draw my Beast Within.
Yeah, right? Like I've noticed that casual players, they're like, I want to have a format where, like, I have fun. And you know what's fun? Back and forths. Like, I play the card. Like, oh, I'm going to play Adnaz on your instep. Oh, I got countered. Okay, well, I'm going to Intuition on your instep. Oh, well, I got countered. Okay, I'm going to Peer into the Abyss. Oh, Deflecting Swat.
Yeah, no, I'm drawing 14 cards, yeah. I think, like, to add on to that, like, one of the best parts about EDH is the back and forth, I think, is... it's more present in CDH than any other format. Like, you can go ahead and play Legacy, but it's still 1v1 in the back and forth. I've never seen a stack of counterspells get up to 12 in any other format except for CDH. Like,
bro, have you ever seen a Flusterstorm get Flusterstormed? Yes. I mean, that shit happens sometimes, but, like, that happens way more us.
Yeah, a Flusterstorm gets Flusterstormed, and then someone counters the last copy of Flusterstorm, and you're like, what the hell just happened? You know, like, that's the fun of CDH, and everybody's doing it, so there is no feels bad, right? And, like, even on decks that like a deck like a green deck that doesn't run counter spells. Guess what? It's got Allosaurus Shepherd, and their spells can't be countered. Like, there's interaction for everything, and that's what makes it fun. And I think that the casual crowd, right? Because we don't really like, I don't want to like separate us because we play the same game. But like in the meta of CDH, I feel like are having the most fun. And I feel like that's a great point that you brought up, Kevin, is like when you introduce someone like, no, that's not what CDH is. Let me show you what this is and show you how cool this can be. And
like what they want EDH to be, but they don't know how to get there.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what, I've had casual games that have been the most fun games of my life. Don't get me wrong, but I've also had CDH games that I'll remember forever because something crazy happened that I'm like, "There's no way that could have happened." You know, like Kian, dude, when Bryce lost on Thoraclaw on the stack with the Ledger Shredder in play because I Cyclonic Rifted someone's Archon of Emeria and they bounced their own. Village Bellringer, flashed in a Solitude, flashed in the Village Bellringer, second spell for turn, draw your card. That's the craziest thing I've ever seen happen. You know, I was like, what? And we're still playing? Like, that guy, like what?
What's going on here? Yeah. And I feel, hold on. Let me interject this and I'll let you finish. And I feel like casuals take, like, the turn two or three wins and they're like, oh, this is the whole format, when it's really not. It's a lot more interactive. Like, people may attempt to win, and if nobody has nothing, you win, but most of the time it's a grind fest. So
it's honestly like a puzzle you're solving in real time, and it's fun. It's really intellectually stimulating.
Yeah, and a perfect example of like what we're saying is if you go to the Mind Sculptors and watch one of their latest podcast episodes, they have James or Squirrel Mob, the guy that runs the CDH metagame analysis website, and he talks about how the average game of CDH ends on turn 4 or turn 5. It's like 33% of games end on turn 4 or turn 5, and when you watch game nights, they talk about how the average EDH game goes until turn 8. So you're talking about that CDH really, on average, only wins, like, and the game ends only 3 turns earlier. And I just casted a game in the MLC where the game didn't end till turn 13. Like, that's a long ass game. That's almost 2 hour long game, especially in CDH. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know where this information comes from, where people get this idea that like, oh, CDH is just a group of pub stompers that went on turn 2 all the time and you have no way to stop it or no way to interact and yada, yada, yada. It's like, I've lost to more casual decks in a CDH game than
this is true.
I lose to CDH decks. Like, you know how many times I put my creature combo on board and I'm used to nobody having creature removal and then someone's like, oh, well, I'm just going to, you know, swords your creature combo, or I'm gonna board wipe. Guess what? Damnation, you lose. I'm like, what? Where did that come from?
Who plays these fucking cards?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's just the expectation. So I don't know where a lot of this information comes from, where people think that like this is what CDH is, and I know that. It's like, no.
I think a lot of it is people literally do not know what it is, right? And like CDH is kind of inbred, right? Because like we have counter spells that are fucking dog shit, except when you expect specific cards, right?
Yeah.
And so like I've played like good decks against just like casual jank, as you said, and like your cards are like target doesn't exist ever. Like you just don't have any fucking cards in hand. And what I think people end up facing is like really, really expensive, and like they put a lot of work into some stompy battlecruiser deck that, you know, that like plays a fucking 5,000 planeswalkers, or like it has some dumb 3-card combo that they just bought Demonic Tutor and Vamp Tutor and Imp Seal just so they could get their shitty casual combo off. And then people lose to that with their precons and they're like, that must be a competitive deck because I got annihilated. And they say, fuck this, I hate those people. And they're right, they do hate those people. But those people aren't us. They don't necessarily know the difference.
Yeah. There's definitely a difference between a pub stomping spike and a CDH player.
Yep.
Well, right. I think, Ian, we can move on
to the best segment of the show. Part. All right. Moving on. The flavor text of the week.
Hold on. Gotta get fucking
Yeah, for those of you who are just tuning in or don't know what this segment is, it's where I, Kian, try to stump the cast on this podcast and you, the audience, with the flavor text for Magic's history. Please have your answers ready so that you can submit it with the spoiler tags in our Flavor Text Judge Discord channel. All right, now I will be doing the cast's flavor text first, okay? This one's easy. It's very easy, okay?
Okay.
That's a pretty ring. Trade you my knife for it.
That's a pretty ring. Wedding ring?
That's a pretty ring. A
wedding ring.
Trade you my knife for it.
Soul ring?
No, it's going to be a swap card. Something that swaps.
It's not Bizarre Trade Mage or whatever that is.
No, that's a pretty ring. Trade you my knife for it.
Is it a black kill spell? I feel like it's not actually related to rings, and it's just related to, like, threatening violence.
I would think that it would be, like, a card that maybe swaps permanents.
I'm saying it's a kill spell. It's got to be a kill spell.
Let's start eliminating cards. Is it a colorless spell?
Is it black? It's black, I'm saying 100%.
It's black.
I fucking knew it.
That's a pretty ring.
I'm learning Kian's bullshit. I'm learning his flavor text bullshit. Like, you gotta pick out which word is important.
Okay.
So I'm assuming we can default it is a CEDH playable card. Friends or not, it's in some deck.
What is? I think it's a spell that could have been used this week. Because Kian likes
to... It's an instant.
Yeah. Well, no. It's Kian likes to pick relevant cards to the game. What is the destroy the kill spell that gives a creature -5/-5?
Dismember.
Yeah. Is it Dismember, Kian?
Dismember though.
No. Because that was very relevant this weekend.
Is it? Let me ask. You can say yes or no on this one. Is it a black instant under 3 mana?
Perhaps.
Is it Deadly Relic?
That's not under 3 mana, 4.
So no, it's not Deadly Relic?
No Deadly Relic.
Is that your final answer?
It's just squirreling us right now.
What do you mean final answer? Oh my god.
We're not playing freaking
prices
right.
Yeah, we're playing freaking guess it till we get it right.
No, it's not Deadly Relic.
Okay.
Does it hit it's creatures? It's a common. Oh.
Oubliette.
Oh, is it Deadly Dispute?
Damn it, Kevin.
Is it...
Deadly Dispute.
I was like, it's got to do something with treasures or killing. Yeah, there we go. You're like, yeah, Deadly Dispute. You like that card. Okay, cool. I'm
then
on
the one for the audience. This one should be kind of easy as well. But the path to ruin is forged in pain. I'll say it again. The path to ruin is forged in pain. They will know
forged in pain. All
right. Well, that was it for flavor text. Adam, I think you want to talk about the next topic.
Yeah, just a reminder before we move on, for those of you listening that know what that flavor text is, make sure you put it in our flavor text judge chat in our Discord for a chance to win a free pack on us. We'll pick any of the people who got it right. We'll do a random drawing, and whoever gets it, we'll send a pack to your address. So
24 hours.
Hopefully the people that I sent the packs to got them. So
hopefully your address is right. Okay. So for the next topic, we're going to get into more of the spicy stuff now that we're later into the episode. Do you guys think that the RC uses Rule Zero as an excuse not to fix the real problems in EDH? So what I mean by that is in that document, we kind of touched on it before. The RC talked about how, or Sheldon Menery talked about how the RC doesn't view Rule Zero as an end-all be-all, right? It's not the antidote. It doesn't fix all the problems that EDH has. But they don't change anything else. Like, they don't make more rules. They don't go out there and say, like, hey, we're going to solve these problems that EDH has because that's our job as the Rules Committee. They don't do any of that shit. Instead, what they do is they just always say, well, that's what Rule Zero is for. Right? Like, oh, you're having this problem? Well, use Rule Zero. You know, like, this is the easiest way to fix it is have a pregame discussion. And it's like, okay, like, thanks for the help.
Yeah, right? Like, it feels like the sort of bullshit answer of like, hey, doctor, my arm hurts when I move it like this. And they respond, don't move it like that.
Yeah, stop
like,
doing that.
You dumb motherfucker. Like, I have a problem. I need a solution. Can we please work on this?
Yeah.
And they're just like, nah, just talk it out, bro.
It's the classic, like, hey, mom, I have a problem. And mom's like, go ask your dad. Like, well, wait, I can't you help me? Like,
and dad's like, go ask your mom.
Yeah.
It's like,
no.
Mom, can we get this card banned? It's like, we don't have that card.
Yeah. And so I think that that's like, I think it is. I think that's 100% the case. No, So that's 100% what I think the RC does is they say like utilize Rule Zero as a way to fix your problems. We don't want to fix them for you, And
what's interesting, because like they specifically said in the article, like that, like we don't do that. But I think it's a bit of projecting. I think that they do that, but they don't want to accept that they do.
And what's funny is like something that we kind of talked about before is that it's almost as though the RC wants you to play the way that we play CDH without actually saying that. So like when
and without playing good cards.
Yeah. So like we play CDH and we have that Rule Zero discussion's already had, and we take the idea of like a play group, right? So like think about like a large play group that you play with all the time. You understand how everybody plays their decks, and you say like, hey, like we're gonna Rule Zero this kind of ideas because we're a regular play group all the time.
Like you know what to expect.
Yeah. Well, that's what CDH is, except the play group is random people you've never met before. Right? We are the large play group. The entire community understands the same thing. And it's like, okay, well, you want the entire community to understand how Rule Zero works, but they don't. And everybody has a different idea of what Rule Zero is. And you tell them, well, Rule Zero will solve all your problems. But it doesn't. So it's kind of interesting because it's like they really stray away from playing high power magic, right? They kind of don't want high power magic to be a thing. Yet high power magic is what does it the right way, in my eyes.
Which... yeah, like, and weird one for me, I was thinking about this in the shower today, like, you don't, like, other than, like, video games and, like, card games, right, like, you don't see this issue where people just, like, endlessly bitch about the rules, like, sure, maybe a couple sports people may, like, I know in fucking NFL, they bitch about the overtime rules because they change all the time. Right, but like for the most part, like if you go play a pickup game of basketball, right, like no one's gonna be like, hey guys, I'm actually better at 3 points if we move them in 4 inches. Can we move the 3-point line? Like, no one fucking has that conversation. You're just like, okay, I'm shit at 3-pointers. I'm just not gonna do them. Like you just play the game as the rules are written, and it's so weird that people in like these, you know, sort of like the nerdy culture, like they want to be like, no, I'm crafting this to my experience because I don't know how to have conversations with people because I have social issues I haven't addressed. I'm 29.
Well, I mean, like when you think about certain games, some of these things do kind of exist, right? So like I think a really good example is like, so EDH is a game that WotC doesn't control technically, right? Technically, we can get all into that later, but technically WotC doesn't control EDH. So it's a fan-made format. Well, like, what are other fan-made games? Like, a good example I think about is, like, beer pong, right? Beer pong is a game that people play for fun. And every house you go to, there's different beer pong rules. You don't know what rules it is. Everybody's got different rules. They're like, oh, elbows, whatever. You can swat it if it bounces, you know. The generic, like, frat house, like, guy's finger, girl's blow, like, how you can get the ball out of the cup. Like, there's different rules everywhere you go, right? And everybody bitches about the rules in beer pong. They're like, that's not how the fuck you play beer pong. You play beer pong like this. You motherfucker, you don't know how to play. And it's like...
I've noticed the exact same thing with playing pool in a bar. It's the same fucking thing. No one knows how to play the same way.
Exactly. And I think that's the problem with EDH, is it's like, hey, we're playing a constructed format. This is a constructed game. Like, where they make fucking pre-cons for it. You know what I mean? Like, this is a real thing. So the rules need to be more clearly defined, because... otherwise, like, EDH is not beer pong. You know what I mean? Like, it's not beer pong.
Now that would be a fucking hell of a game.
But I think we'll get into this later. But I think the RC wishes that it was beer pong. You know, they want to keep it beer pong when the format's getting to a point now where it can no longer be that. Does that make sense? And like, to kind of go on what you were saying before, when it comes to card choices and like Rule Zero, I think it does exist in a lot of other things. Like, think about video games, right? Like, if you're playing Call of Duty and you're like, man, I freaking hate the rocket launcher. Like, you always kill me with the rocket launcher. It's a cheesy gun, and you shouldn't play the rocket launcher because you're not a good player if you play it. Well, a lot of people think that about Thoracle. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't play Thoracle. It's the rocket launcher of CDH, right? So, like, there is, like, that complaining and that type of stuff, and it does exist in other places, but... I think it exists less in CDH and more in EDH, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the RC also is also kind of like, all right, here's Rule Zero, F off. You know, go. We already discussed this when it needs to be like better defined, like Adam was saying. It's a constantly growing and shifting format, and I feel like we're to the point now where like it should be like the main format. Everybody that plays Magic has played a game of EDH at least at some point. You know, so it should be, here are the set rules, here's how we deal with these things, that they should have all these guidelines, but they don't. So, and I think that's kind of a major issue that we'll talk about in our next question.
So I've got one thing I'd like to add. So like we asked, you know, like, is Rule Zero an excuse not to fix the format, right? What are the fucking problems of the format? I think we could have an entire goddamn podcast episode about this. I think the ban list is the biggest fucking issue. I genuinely do not like the way that they do the ban list now, because they do it as like an exemplary sort of thing where it's like, ooh, we build silver or prime time because we don't like this sort of like YOLO creature. But fucking Protean Hulk is unbanned, but, dude. Like,
and another issue is that they don't revisit the ban list and unban stuff regularly, which is like...
Right. Dude, like... Fucking look at this shit that was banned since the format's inception, like 9, 10 fucking years ago, right? Like, how much has this shit changed? Honestly, and again, hot take, just literally unban everything with a huge caveat of these cards may be rebanned in the next couple months. Like, you know, proceed with caution.
I would none of us could afford CEH. We would never be able to play anywhere.
Stay banned. Fuck that. Yeah, fuck a Mox. I love Moxes, but keep them.
One thing that, like, for me is a big proponent of that is the idea that not only do they not revisit, but the exemplary bans are so dumb. Like, don't say like, oh, we're banning this card as an example of what you need to rule zero out of your playgroup. Don't leave that responsibility up to the players, because you're talking about a Correct. Format full of millions of people. Nobody's going to agree like, yeah, that's all right. This is what we need. You know, think about like any other WotC format. Think about Pauper, right? Pauper, for example. Okay. They banned Atog, right? A lot of people would agree that Atog was a problem in Pauper. But you know who doesn't agree that Atog was a problem? The guys playing Affinity. Right? They're like, why would you ban my baby?
Atog, what do you mean? I played Affinity. You know? Like, I agree. It had to go. It was gross. It was a gross Magic card.
But agreed it was gross.
But what I'm saying is, for example, like, don't leave that decision up to the players. Because if you go to Pauper and you're like, hey, we're going to ban this card and say that any card that acts like this card, you should also not play. Guess what? If it's not in the rules, they're going to play it. Right?
Yeah, straight up. Like, if I can play some dickhead card, I'm going to play that dickhead card. Like, I'm not going to, you know, worry about
it. So don't, yeah, I am a big proponent of do not leave that decision up to the players. Now, take players' input on what cards should be banned. Like, hey, Dockside is a real problem. It's actually shifts the entire game into one person's favor. It's kind of not healthy for the format, yada, yada, yada. Ban Dockside, right? And if they took that stuff into account, they'd be like, yeah, okay, maybe we see that. This is a problem that we're discovering. We should get rid of this card. Then by all means, right? But they don't do that. They're like, well, you know, it's on our watch list, so maybe rule zero it out of your play groups. Like,
well, it doesn't,
you know,
address,
I mean? It's like, dude, that doesn't
the issue. They're just like, here you go. Just do what.
Yeah. You just put a Band-Aid over it. Like, here, oh, this card is consistently fucking skewing the format. Yeah. Just don't play it, lol.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, this card is fucking $7,000? Just don't play with it. Don't buy it. Don't worry about it.
No, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, like, my hard answer, you know, and I try to be reasonable with them. I try to understand their perspective. But, like, no, like, this is 100% a fucking Band-Aid, right? Like, it is absolutely and utterly... it's a John, right? Like, it's them just straight up being like, I don't want to deal with this problem because it'll piss off too many people and it's too hard to fix. You guys fix it. And like, I know that they'll come out and talk and be like, no, that's not actually how we feel. But like, that's what we're perceiving. That's what most people, I would say, perceive. Like, every time I've had this conversation, everyone kind of agrees. I don't fucking like Rule Zero, but I don't have a good solution.
Yeah.
And the solution is to have better fucking rules, have a better ban list. Like, have things set in place. You don't like commander damage? Cool, up it. Cool. You think commander damage isn't enough? Or like 21's too much? Lower it. You think life totals are too big? You know, ad nos and combos too strong? Start us at 30 life. Play with the format, you know? Like, there's rules for a fucking reason.
Yeah. No, and I think that ties in, like, kind of this discussion kind of ties into what our next topic is. And I think, Kevin, you're going to handle that one.
Yeah, so as we mentioned, you know, the RC, the Rules Committee, they've sort of been around since the beginning because they made the game when it was literally EDH and you had those big dumb dragons. And Magic, as Mark Rosewater has talked about, is sort of, there's just this hidden, like, under don't say class, but like this, like the majority of Magic players are actually kitchen table Magic players. They don't really have like defined formats or rules. They just fucking have cards and they play, right? And that's sort of the people that we don't see. So I think it's weird that EDH grew out of a kitchen table sort of mentality and has now grown to a worldwide phenomenon with like rules and fucking like entire tournaments and shit, right? Like, it isn't what it started off as. Like, it was born in the world of the kitchen table and it grew to the big stage, but the rules committee wants to like staple it and chain it down to this kitchen table fun, like casual format. And that's, while it's noble, I think it's misguided, right? And I think that sort of trying to force this to be a kitchen table format when kitchen table still exists. It's not like you can't play kitchen table, right? You can just say, like, I'm playing kitchen table singleton. We're fucking around. Like, there are no rules. Just don't do this. Like, please. Like, we're trying to have fun. Like, I'm too blitzed to play this card. Like, I don't want to think about how to do fucking Chains of Mephistopheles triggers. Like, I'm not playing that shit, right? So I think that EDH has a fundamental flaw that it was born from kitchen table, and the rules committee won't let it go. They will not let go that you should play an 11 drop and then lose the game. I don't think that's where players today want to be, but I could be biased.
Keen, I agree with you. Like, we sit down, like you said, most people are like kitchen table Magic people, but I think more like Magic's been gaining popularity over the years, and it's more like a lot more content being produced, and I think more players are trying to transition to like have a set format, and they're still coming in with like that kitchen table mindset, you know. So I think that the having like the RC say, okay, like from our point of view, it's like, okay, why are they doing all this? But from like the whole MTG rules and whatever as a whole, they're like, okay, we're analyzing this. This is what players want. You know, it's the majority of the people that are coming in with like that kitchen table mindset. And
but like the RC, yeah, won't, you know, and I'm kind of with you. Like, it's weird that like you have rules for a fucking reason, and that's to keep people in check. That's to keep the format from like
going, which sucks crazy for the rest of us,
right? So like, yeah, right, because like they basically just like the rules should, and this is my take, rules should be defined for the competitive players. It should be what makes the game, like the integrity of the competitive nature of the game. That's what rules should be for. Rule Zero totally should exist. I love Rule Zero in that it lets people who don't want to play at the highest level craft a game that they want to play. But like, why the fuck is Biorhythm banned? That card sucks fat donkey dick, dude. Let that shit off. Like, there are lots of cards that should be banned. And, like, I mean, I think Underworld Breach is pushing it hard. I don't want to see it go, but if we're being honest, it's fucking close. Like, it's really good. But we're never going to see it banned because no one Breach brain freezes someone at a fucking table where you play four L's. You know, like, no one's going to play their fucking 5-mana 3/4 that has, like, an upkeep trigger and then lose to a goddamn Thoracle off an Eldritch Evolution. And that's where our format actually does have some problems. And I think, genuinely, bannings won't fix that, but I think unbannings will. But they don't want to let those cards off because they're like, ooh, it's exemplary. We don't want you to play these type of cards. Like,
well,
let me play limited resources, goddammit.
Not even that, but like when you go back to like the actual question of like, how does EDH's like passed as a kitchen table format affect the RC's decision making? It's like that same idea with what I said earlier about like they want it to be beer pong. You know what I mean? They want it to be so casual that there shouldn't need to be rules, right? That like you guys can just talk about what you want to play, and that's what Commander is just you have to have a legendary creature and 100 cards, and like as long as you have that, you're playing EDH. And it's like, okay, I understand that's how the format initially became to be. But I don't think that that's what it's at anymore. Like you said, you have millions
grew out of that.
Yeah, you have millions and millions of players who play EDH. It's time to structure the format. It's time to have an official ban list. If you want to say like, oh, we want to cultivate fun and positivity and whatever, then fine, do that and stop muddying the water. You know, and it comes down to just like the player base is too big at this point. There's you can't have millions of people playing at the same kitchen table. It just doesn't work that way.
You need to have your own, so, like, the separate stuff for separate subsets of players. So everybody's happy.
Yeah, that way, like, people know what to expect when they walk in a store.
Oh, you can't make everybody happy. I don't think they try to make everybody happy in Legacy. They don't try to make everybody happy in other formats. I think Kevin's got to go let his dog in. But,
you know what I mean? Like, you got to make, the communities, not the actual players, but, like, the communities happy. You know, like take away one thing, but it doesn't have to directly impact, like, the players. You know what I'm saying with that? Like,
start making decisions for the betterment of the format. Like, that's where it needs to go.
I feel like, and you kind of started to mention it, Adam, I feel like the rules committee is like a parent watching their kid grow up. They started it from the beginning. Like, they were there through all the fun. Like, they remember all these good, fun times when things were simpler, right?
And now they just don't want to let it go.
That kid's 16. Like, that kid's fucking old. Like, they want to start becoming their own person, and, like, they need, like, rules and, like, guiding boundaries, and, like, they need actual good mentorship and not just, like, oh, you'll be fine. Just don't do drugs. Like,
yeah,
they're going to do them.
One way or another. No, I think that's a great way to put it. Yeah, like, at this point, it's like the format is getting to the point where you have to actually start setting those guidelines, start setting those rules. You can't use examples anymore, right? Like, a good line, right, is that everyone learns from their mistakes. Okay, well, it's time to start learning from cards that are mistakes and getting rid of them, banning them, and setting boundaries. Yeah.
And, like, I think that's a serious problem with EDH, right? Like, people, like, you play the game, like, you, like, I make mistakes all the time. Like, I see it in even our competitive games. Like, you're talking about mistakes in terms of making cards, but, like, people don't get to learn from their mistakes of deck building because they make bad plays, they make bad decks, or whatever. Maybe not bad, but, like, it just doesn't fit what they should be seeing. And then they're like, oh, well, instead of, like, critically thinking about my deck and, like, optimizing what I should do, like, not even optimizing, right? Like, you don't have to spend $500 on a counterspell package. You can just be like, I don't like it when my friend plays Meat Hook Massacre. So you go into Scryfall and you look for counter enchantment, and then you fucking buy that 3-cent card, right? Like, it doesn't let people explore their gameplay choices because they're just like, oh, I'm just going to fucking ban that card. I don't want to play with it. It's like, bro, like, you're not going to ban rooks in chess because you don't fucking know how to deal with, like, an early fucking rook rush, you know? Like, just learn the game better. Like, yeah, not everyone wants to spend all of their time, like, studying a game and, like while you were dating girls, I studied the blade. But, like, it's a game. You play for fun, right? Like, learn about the thing you're doing. Like try to have fun back and forth with your friends. I don't know. People don't get to learn from their mistakes, and it bugs me because they just say, oh, fuck it. I'm not doing this anymore. I quit. I give up.
Yeah.
You have to change.
No, absolutely. And I think that's like a good kind of spot to kind of end these topics
on. I think that we had a great discussion today on a criminally underrated topic. Like, actually, like, I haven't heard any other people, like, really go and discuss this. But
so, for as much as Rule Zero is about communicating, nobody communicates about Rule Zero.
Yeah, we had a really great talk today about how to bully your play group into submission. So I'm hopefully you guys can take away stuff and learn something. But I hope we were able to shed some light on what Rule Zero actually is and how it affects players, the RC, and the community as a whole. We have very strong opinions regarding Rule Zero, and hopefully an episode like this will spark more conversations amongst your playgroup on this very topic, or, like, more social media interaction about this topic as well. Now to feeding the fish. Kevin?
Okay, so for those of you that don't know, Feeding the Fish is a game we play on our podcast where there are 4 5-minute rounds, in this case only 3. For each round, each person on the podcast has 2 minutes to feed the fish or pick a topic to defend that theme for each week, right? So then the fish or the rest of the podcast will have 3 minutes collectively to either agree or disagree with the defending speaker. All time is uninterrupted, and there are no rebuttals, so you don't get to talk outside of your time slot. For this week's Feeding the Fish, for each member, we will choose a card that we would like to Rule Zero into the game of CDH, given the opportunity. So, who wants to go first? Kian? Adam?
I'll go first. Because I've got...
Adam's going first. Okay.
I've got a spicy card. So...
For this one, I'm going to get myself up a timer. Hold on. Do Google timer. And I'm actually going to mute myself in here so I can't even type. So let's look up online timer, timeanddate.com. Let's go. 2 minutes on the clock. 3, 2, 1, send it.
Okay. So if I could rule zero a card into CDH, so like basically take a card off the ban list and say like, hey guys, for today, I want to play this card in my deck. I would choose Yawgmoth's Bargain. The reason being because when you consider like all of the huge draw spells or huge cards in CDH that lets you draw a bunch of cards and try to win the game, I think Yawgmoth's Bargain is no different than any of those other spells. When you consider like Bolas the Citadel, Necropotence, Peering into the Abyss, Ad Nauseam, Yawgmoth's Bargain fits directly into that slot. It's a 6-mana mono black enchantment that says you can skip your draw step, pay 1 life, and draw a card. It's literally no different than Necropotence, which is only 3 mana, except Necropotence only puts those cards into your hand at your end step. I think Yawgmoth's Bargain would be great to play with. I think given the opportunity, it would be an awesome card to see how easy would it be to cheat into play. It's an enchantment, so you only have one way to really cheat it into play, and that's using Academy Rector. And so I think that would be a really fun way to shake up the format. When you look up at Necropotence, right, there's like really only one way to cheat it into play. You can either Rector it into play, or you can use Xur to get it into play. When you look at Ad Nauseam or Peer into the Abyss, there's no real way to cheat those into play besides just ritualing into them. And when you look at Bolas the Citadel, the only real way to cheat that into play is by, right now in our format, is by using like Goblin Welder, by getting it out of your graveyard and putting it onto the battlefield. Otherwise, you can't really cheat those cards into play. And I think Yawgmoth's Bargain is a cool way to cheat into play some type of mass draw enchantment that I think would be really fun to interact with, and I'd love to see how it would go in a game of CDH. I'm done.
Okay.
Time. Okay.
All right, listen.
You're the Ad Nauseam player. You go first.
Yawgmoth's Bargain unban would be broken, okay? One life for one card is just too insane in this format, dude. Like, yeah, like it's 6 mana, yeah, but Ad Nauseam is 5, and 6 really isn't that much harder to get to. You know, and peer in the Abyss, Yawgmoth's Bargain feels like I'm Peering in the Abyss. I have never... All right, there's one time where I've cast Peer in the Abyss and lost. But most of the time you cast Peer and you win. And it's... I got swatted.
Damn, Kian's freaking mad, dude. He's loud about this one. He's like, nah. Yeah. I love Nas. And yeah, no, I'm with Kian 100%. Seriously, fuck Yawgmoth's Bargain. That card should stay banned forever, and I want that card so badly. Because, like, Nas lists have to literally craft their entire motherfucking deck around, like, oh, God, I have to get my average... Fuck that, bro. Play all the most disgusting cards and then be like, 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. It's dumb. And yeah, like, on top of Academy Rector... probably not as good. You can Entomb Replenish, mm-hmm. So there are more options to cheat. You know, it's there are ways to cheat it out. And even if you don't cheat it out, it's fucking black. You have Dark Writ, bro. You have Calling the Weak.
A lot
you
of
have,
rituals.
Cabal Ritual. Yeah. That motherfucker makes 5 for 2. Yeah, no. Yawgmoth's Bargain, as much as I personally want to play this card, my fucking Ooga Booga eyeballs almost fall out of my goddamn skull. No. 6. You give me balance, you can have Yawgmoth's Bargain. That shit ain't happening. Not fucking once. I don't need any more. That card is ape shit. I agree with you, I want to see it played, but it just becomes fucking... Like, okay, Bolas of Citadel, the reason it's not broken is because we don't have Tinker. Right? And it can brick. You hit lands. Fuck, your Bargain doesn't brick. You just draw fucking 39 cards, and then the game is over. You're like, oh man, I'm down to 1 life.
Yep.
Anywho, I win. So, yeah, I don't let it happen. And plus, like, Angel's Grace would become, like, slightly more playable then because, like, I don't know, draw your entire deck might be a little bit easier. And, like, Yawgmoth's Bargain is better than Necro just for value, too, right? Yeah. You just pay, like, oh, I'll pay, like, 5 and draw 5. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, I don't get to draw on this. Literally. Fuck it, I'll just draw 10 more on this turn.
Or on any turn.
Yeah, so I'm done. Yeah, exactly.
I can go.
Kian, you up next or me? Okay, I'm going to give you 2 minutes
on
the clock.
The card that I want unbanned is Upheaval, okay? I want Upheaval unbanned, you know. I want to bounce everything humanly possible. All those nasty, disgusting pieces that everybody plays. All the permanents, goodbye. All your lands, goodbye, okay? And, like, to be honest, like, Psych Rift is almost the same thing, okay? Who cares about bouncing lands? That's not totally broken whatsoever. Upheaval, I think, would change how people would accelerate their turns. Because if you would go, like, one drop dork, one drop, yada, 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 play out everything, and then someone upheavals you with all their zero drop artifacts, it feels really bad. And it feels really good for artifact strategies. Like, I just want to play more artifact strategies. I want to get all those stacks pieces out of the way. Who cares about permanents, okay? That's all I got.
Okay. Adam, you want to start this one?
Yeah, I don't think upheaval is that bad. It's a 6-mana, return all permanents to opponent's hands at sorcery speed. It's significantly worse than Cyclonic Rift. Sure, you bounce everybody's lands. Ooh, land destruction, land bounce. It's a big feels bad. Who cares, bro? Counter that shit. Like, it's a sorcery speed 6-mana spell. Like, it's a lot of mana. I look at Psych Rift in our format, and I, like, look at when people cast a Psych Rift. It takes everything they have to cast a Psych Rift. So, like, I mean, you're going to pretty much tap out to cast Upheaval. If it resolves, good on you, because then you deserve to win the game. And it's CDH. Like, you're going to win at some point if you resolve an Upheaval. So I wouldn't be worried about that card in the format. Now, in casual, yeah, but we're talking CDH.
Fuck them. Fuck them. So resident green player here. Please don't touch my lands. So, is this card broken? No, it's 6-mana, and, like, it doesn't technically make you win the game. It's, you can basically go land bunch of Moxes, Upheaval, bounce your shit, replay one of your lands if you haven't played one this turn, play all your Moxes. Like, it's good for your decks, right, Kian? I don't want to see this because I'm a fucking land fiend.
Oh,
but
wait.
I don't think it's a spicy pick.
I just realized Upheaval says return all permanents to their owner's hands. It bounces your own shit, man.
Yes.
I hate Upheaval. You're not even winning the game with this card. This card sucks.
No. The point is that you play a bunch of dumb rocks, and then you bounce all your lands, and then if you don't, because you play greedy like Kian, you only run like 2 lands on your whole fucking deck, you replay your 1 underground sea, right? And you play all your rocks, you have a massive lead. I think the card would be annoying, and it would push the format towards more blue and less green, which I'm not a fan of. But
if it said return all permanents to your owners, to all opponents' permanents to their hands, I'd be like, yeah, all people's gas. But no, this card kind of looks like ass now that I think about it. Like, it's, you know how many games people would upheaval and not win? That would suck.
Yes, in casuals, yes. But I mean, I'm worried about
even
like,
in CDH, for our format. Because, like, everybody's got rocks. Bro. So you upheaval everybody, you dump all your mana rocks. Okay, cool. Now, how are you going to win the game? Like, you don't have any more cards in your hand. You just
it's a massive tempo. It's basically damn near the same thing as Psych Rift on Instep. You just bounce everything, and you're like, well, get fucked. I'm windfalling. Like, the play would be Upheaval, replay your rocks, windfall, goodbye.
Okay, I'm going to float.
Like,
I'm going to float all my mana when you upheaval me. Now you have to move phases.
No, I get that. Yeah. There are answers. My point is it becomes a win con, and it's 6-mana. It's fine.
No, this card sucks ass.
Okay, I think we're good on that one. So, we're going to put myself on 2 minutes. Okay. So, I want to say balance. I really fucking want to say balance so bad. I want to be able to go turn one, diamonds, opal, soul ring, balance, pass. I want to just fucking annihilate people after they play their first land. I want people to have no cards in hand, but that's not my answer. I want to say limited resources because it's another good white stacks piece that fucks over lands. And I want to be able to lock people out after ramping to 4 lands and then limited resources, and they can't play the game anymore. But that's not my answer. My answer, simply enough, is Gifts Ungiven. Intuition's already a good card. It's playable in the format. It's totally fucking fair. It makes deterministic piles. It's good, right? Gifts Ungiven is 1 mana more. You get 1 card more. But you don't have to choose 4 cards. You can choose 4, you can choose 3, 2, 1, or 0, right? I think 0 is kind of the smooth brain option. But it is intuition that costs 1 more, with the upside of maybe you can craft even more convoluted intuition piles, right? It gives you more options to play the game. It becomes double entomb at 4 mana, which is, I've always wanted Buried Alive to say card and not like creature. So having a 4 mana version that only gets you 2, I'll take it. I think Gifts Ungiven is probably the most reasonable card on the ban list that could and should come off. That affects our format more than everyone else. Like, right? Casuals will play this card like fucking Fact or Fiction. and, like, you know, the fact or fiction you lose meme isn't actually true. It's not that good in our format. EDH is too slow, right? Draw 5 isn't even that fucking good for 4 mana. So I think giving blue decks another option to assemble interesting wins allows for more decks to exist. They just all play Thoracle, probably, or Breach. I don't fucking know. But I like Intuition. I like Gifts. I think it's a solid card. That's my fucking 2 minutes.
Adam, you want to start, since you like Intuition?
I love this idea. I love Intuition. It's one of my favorite cards to play. It's one of my favorite, like, I win the game cards to throw on the table. And I think that it enables a lot of politics and enables a lot of fun stuff. You know what I'd really love to do is cast Gifts Ungiven when I need a counterspell, still put my deterministic pile in the graveyard, and still get a counterspell to, like, stop someone from winning the game. I love the idea of Gifts Ungiven. It makes more deterministic piles. There's tons of decks out there that I'm like, man, if only Intuition grabbed one more card, this pile could be amazing. Like, that's what Gifts is for. I don't think it'd be a problem. I don't think Gifts and Casual would be a problem. I honestly don't know why the card is banned and Intuition isn't. You know, I would be fine if you banned Intuition and gave me Gifts. I don't care. I want to see that card played. So I will 100% agree with Kevin on this one.
I feel like it, from a Casual standpoint, it's not going to come up, like, whatsoever. But I feel like taking the pet card aside of Intuition and looking at Gifts as a card, I think it's, like, it does what Intuition does, but better, because it's up to. You can put two things in the graveyard, or you can just put that one card you need in the graveyard, but you're never going to do that. You're always going to get two. Or you could just get four things and make it a super deterministic pile. I don't think it would be a problem. I think that, you know, it should be unbanned, but I think it's another thing that, like, is another tool for, like, the tier one decks. Like, Blue Farm, Disgaea Shai, you know, like, all these other things that already run Intuition. I think that it would deserve us. I don't know if it would replace Intuition, because this is a strictly better card, but it may be another, like, flex slot. But I agree that it wouldn't be a problem if it was unbanned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with that, that's everybody's cards for Feed the Fish.
Hey, I had a feeding the fish where people didn't rip me open for once.
But I think that we're going to do the same thing that we did last week, where if you guys want to participate with, like, feeding the fish, we might make a feeding the fish section in our Discord. To,
I think,
like,
we have that already.
All it's of you guys, the listeners.
Civil discussions.
yes. Well, we're only the most intellectual of conversations
take place. But yeah, so if you want to see, like, a feeding the fish section, let us know, and you can talk about, like, what cards you would want, or what, you know, whatever our feeding the fish topic is. You guys can all participate in that as well, because Bergie's Corner seems to be doing pretty hot lately.
If you guys want to hear us talk about our opinions on the ban list and what ban list we would craft, you know, like every fucking other person has done,
that'd be fun.
And with that, I think we're gonna And with that, I think we're going to move to our cleanup. So, again, we want to thank all of our high-tier patrons, Usable Object, Senator Tom, Cold Ramen, and Geo Justin. Thank you guys so much for the support. Support from our patrons is what makes us here at SadNoz continue to pump out this content on a weekly basis, even though this episode is a little late. But thanks again for everything. Once again, please join the Chaos 4 webcam tournament. We are really excited for this tournament. We have been working really hard to get this one out, and we're just super pumped for it. We're hoping to get 200 people to join this tournament. We have, like, $1,000 in prize support. We will link the Chaos Discord in the description if you want to enter that tournament. It's September 10th at, I think the start time is like 10 a.m. our time, and we really hope to see everybody there to get a huge turnout. Other than that, for those of you that haven't already joined our Discord, what the hell are you waiting for? Get in there. We pride ourselves on being one of the more community-driven content discords, and we love the feedback we get from our SadNoz family. You can talk to us about episodes, get deck building advice, or just chat about your day. And we're also local to the Milwaukee metro area and have channels specifically designed for local meetup games, tournaments, and events, and local discussions. So we would love to have you.
And discussing Panglacial Worm.
And Panglacial Worm in the Judge Chat. But we would love to have you there. And finally, whether you're listening on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else where you can get podcasts, please like, subscribe, and leave a comment. Drop us a review or share us with your friends. It really helps with growing our channel and gives us the ability to work with new people and reach new audiences. And with that, we will end this episode here. So you guys have a great week, and we'll see you all on the next one. Peace out. Good.